Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is November 15th, 2022, and the eyes of the world are on Florida tonight. Everybody is talking about what's going on in Florida. The big news out of Florida, which is Isla Dawn from NXT UK, has made her US debut tonight on NXT, costing Alba Fire the NXT Women's Championship. And it's going to be all the media is talking about for the next 24 hours.
Is that the news? Because I personally, huge, when it comes to Florida, all I want to know is, send me location, Glenn. Where are you? Because Scripps has broken into the performance center, and I still stick to my gut. I think you're Scripps, so I want to know if you're doing this from Florida and we didn't even know it.
Well, next week it's going to be a tight turnaround with Scripps making their debut on NXT, and then I have to get back here to Las Vegas for Thanksgiving, so... And we'll see.
Wow,
we'll see if it can be
done. Traveling week for you, huh?
A lot of travel, a lot of back and forth. Thankfully, JetBlue has Mint out of Harry Reid, so you know it makes the flight a little more comfortable.
Yes, Alfred is not here with us tonight, guys. In the chat, he there is a wing special happening at Applebee's tonight, so we lost him.
Do we have any news? Did Alfredson news? I don't think we have news, do we?
You do this to me when we go on air? Hold on, let me see.
I was just thinking about it. I was like, I mean, we could talk about the Iron Survivor match.
We are so irresponsible. Like,
Alfred is the glue that holds this podcast together.
Yeah. Monday Night Raw did 1.6 million, so the viewership was slightly up. Did you watch it?
I did not. Last night, I watched the Elvis movie, and then I watched 1993's Posse, directed by and starring Mario Van Peebles and Stephen Baldwin. That was a good use of my time last night. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the news. slightly up viewership on Monday Night Raw. Obviously, we're going to get into what Shawn Michaels announced as we break down the show. So I think that's the biggest piece of news I got of tonight. It was a slow news day for wrestling.
It was.
I don't know. I wish Alfred would just send the news.
Yeah, so Dylan Matthews super chat saying Alfred's at Applebee's with Chasey and Gigi confirmed. Cheat watches. No Alfred, no news.
I mean, there isn't a lot of news, and that's okay. This has been a crazy year in the world of wrestling. We've had so many newsworthy items. What's a night without news?
Yeah, it's true. It is true. The Iron Survivor match. If you like complicated wrestling matches, you might say, okay, there's going to be five competitors. One of them enters every 5 minutes. You might be thinking, this sounds kind of like the Royal Rumble. This sounds a little derivative. Oh, no, but wait, there's more. So one, pinfalls, submissions, and disqualifications count to where you earn a point in this match. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are pinned, get disqualified, or submit, you lose a point, and you go into a penalty box for 90 seconds. So it's a little bit of an elimination chamber sort of action going on there.
Right.
So it's a little complicated, but much like trying to figure out the electoral college or congressional districts, this means that in theory, any competitor has a chance because it's not just about who does the best and gets the pin submissions or disqualifications, it's about who also does not get pinned, submitted, or disqualified.
But if you're about to get a pin or get pinned and I'm in the match, wouldn't I just go and interfere and get a DQ win or like help somebody else get a lose a point?
I know, it's tough. It's very tough to figure out.
It's very similar to the King and Queen of the Mountain match in TNA. Very, very similar. I was doing a watch along and the chat pointed it out. I searched it and I looked at the stipulation and it is very similar.
Sheet Black saying Veer is coming.
He came tonight. Yeah. Not even 5 minutes in. I broke my own record.
That's Issa's 5-minute challenge.
Yes. Say something that makes Glenn uncomfortable, at least in the first 5 minutes of the podcast.
I don't know. T-Bar was talking about Hard Justice tonight. And I was just like, I think I rented that movie once, or had a friend rent it for me because I wasn't 18 yet. So, it was, NXT, the horniest show in all of professional wrestling.
It hasn't been very horny. I was doing the watch along and somebody asked if this guy is still a virgin. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that we're running that storyline. We never found out if he's still a virgin or not.
Maybe it was like the end of Once Bitten, you know, and it just happened. And now the vampire's not interested.
Have you ever seen anymore. The movie? Have you ever seen the movie It Follows?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I just thought about that. It's all the talk about beer coming. Anyway.
So with my wife out of town, this is not going where you think it is. So with my wife out of town, it's my chance to watch movies that my wife never has interest in. And there's a bunch of horror movies, but I'm like home, you know, when I'm alone, I'm like, I don't want to watch Barbarian or Malignant. Like, I don't want to freak myself out. So I've been watching. I watched In Bruges the other night. I watched Sound of Metal. Both of those were kind of downers. Last night I watched Elvis Posse. Like, yeah, we'll have to see what I watch later tonight to keep it going. But yeah, this is what I do when my wife's out of town. My wife's out of town in Las Vegas, and it's me and five cats. And depressing movies and the type of takeout food that she never wants to eat. So it's just like pizza and falafel. And I'm just.
So you basically act like a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Your wife is out of town.
Absolutely.
I love that. I do the same thing. I'll be watching like horror movies or I'll be deep into a conspiracy theory or something crazy like that Twitter thread that you sent me. And then like
The
motion sensor light lights up. And then I'm like, oh, shit.
I don't get too scared.
I look at my dog. My dog is passed out, and I'm like, "How are you of any help here?"
I don't get too freaked out. I probably overdid it. We live in a pretty nice neighborhood, but I probably overdid it with security cameras and stuff when we moved in, even from two different companies. So if somebody like jams or trips one, like the other ones will still be going. But yeah, like so, don't get too scared.
Okay, no breaking into Glenn's house. Okay, great.
Oh my God. It would just I would get woken up by the alarm, not by the break-in. Kelvin,
no, you'd be like, you pull up your cameras and you'd be like, Issa, call my phone and I'll pick up and you see it and be like, what are you doing in my backyard?
That's the real reason why I got so with the alarm sensors, everything, my big fear is actually a false alarm. And then it's like the police come out and it was nothing and like a sensor fell off or something happened. But so I actually got the cameras just so I can confirm if the alarm is legit or not.
Dylan in the chat says Glenn's wife ever in town.
She goes to visit her mother every other month. So
I see. Yeah,
that's what it is. And I went and visited my family last month. Okay.
Horror movie have you watched before we get started?
No, I haven't watched any because part of me is just like I don't want to be scared, I don't want to be freaked out. When I'm alone, it's not when I'm in bed at night that I'm scared. It's just sitting around. So I've got a list of stuff to watch, but you know,
so
what it is.
Before you hit the super chats and we hit the podcast, I have an idea, right?
Oh, okay.
Let's find one that neither one of us have watched and that we both want to see. And then we'll just hit play at the same time and we'll watch it on iMessage. Cause I don't like to talk on the phone, but we can like text back and forward. Like how we used to do with Yellow Jackets. We did that with Yellow Jackets. Let's just watch a scary movie virtually together.
We could, but here's my issue with the horror movies now is every horror movie you read about, like Smile or Barbarian or Malignant or Terrifier, everyone's like, this is the most fucked up horror movie ever made.
And it's,
like,
and it's not. It never is. It never is.
But that's not what I'm in the mood to watch. I want to see something where it's like, this was really intelligent and interesting and had some cool mythology. I like The Black Phone a lot. I thought The Black Phone was a very
intelligent. Was so good.
Well, that movie, but everything else is just like, this won't just scare you, it'll fuck you up for life. And like, that's not what I'm looking for necessarily. Like, I want to be entertained, not just scared.
Yeah, no, I agree. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But, we'll have to think about something to watch. Kelvin saying Dexter needs to come back and break Indy off. She's been mean as hell since he's been gone.
Long I love this relationship version of tough. Indy. We'll get into it, but I love this Indy. It's about time she got a little mean streak to her.
Yes. Terry Allen Jr., my brother and I saw Black Panther yesterday. I need to go see that. We were going to go to the drive-in and see that before my wife left, but we didn't. So we're going to
see it without her, so she'll be mad at you.
Now, I have done that before where sometimes if the movie, and this is what true love is, if there's a movie that I'm not sure if my wife will like or not, sometimes I will secretly watch it ahead of time. And then if it's really good, then I'll suggest that we watch it because I know that she'll really like it.
But do you tell her that you've seen it?
No, that would ruin it. Because if you tell somebody that you're dating that you've seen something ahead of time, they're going to be like, well, I don't want to watch it now. I don't want your, you know, second run viewing experience, you know?
Your version of true love is weird, but okay.
It's very much like Nathan Fielder in The Rehearsal, where I just want to want to practice and get it right, you know? But I've done that with TV shows, too. Like, sometimes I'll watch the first episode of something to be like, is this good and worth watching? You know? Because I
count on you to do that for me, because every time you suggest something, I end up loving it. You're starting to recognize what I like and what I'm like, yeah,
did you watch it in a year. Interview with the Vampire yet?
I started it.
Yeah.
Yes. Good.
So good. So good.
Very very adult.
Yes, isn't it?
Yes. You prepared me for it and you know how I am, and I was still like, well, this is okay.
Yeah, it's I really enjoyed it a lot. And then when they introduced the Claudia character, I was just like, this is so much better than the movie. Yeah, so when you get to episode 4, I think Claudia enters the picture.
I haven't gotten to that yet, but I read a couple of reviews because I'm NC like that and everybody's saying that. But yeah, I started, I think I'm 2 episodes in and I'm super excited. I'll let you know when I'm all caught up.
She Black 499, Braun Breaker had a great match. Veer coming was interesting too.
Always interesting when he comes.
She'd fight Back to the Future's classic franchise. Absolutely. In fact, after NXT went Back to the Future started, I like was like, oh shit, I have to do the podcast. Cause Back to the Future is one of those movies where if it is on and I'm flipping channels, like it's like that Karate Kid, Summer School is another one. Like there's just a handful of movies that if it is on, like I'm going to watch it through to the end.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yes. People want scripts. For sure, we'll get some scripts. Scripts might be making a visit later in the podcast.
Let's go.
Can't rush scripts. I was worried scripts wasn't showing up tonight.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too. I was like, where is scripts? Like, what is happening?
And then the funny part was I had a moment where I was like, oh shit, did we kill scripts? Like, did NXT see this? And they were like, they have turned this into a laughing stock of what it was intended.
No, but did he say sincerely before?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's talk about it. I actually enjoyed this episode a lot, so I'm excited to talk about it.
It was a good episode. We start with Braun Breaker versus Von Wagner.
That I was not into until they started wrestling.
Well, I think Braun Breaker works better. Okay, here's my thought. Braun Breaker is not losing that championship for the foreseeable future. Like, Braun Breaker, I just don't believe it. So, Braun Breaker in the main event, to me, is anticlimactic because it's like there is no support. Like, I can just start getting ready for the podcast as soon as that main event starts. I know what's going to happen. Someone might show up at the end and interrupt, but we know Braun is remaining champion. Now, that being said, Mandy Rose also has somewhat of that problem. But tonight, I suspended disbelief. I really thought before Isla Dawn showed up, I really thought Alba Fire had a chance. But Braun versus Vaughn. Whoa. Think about Von that Wagner. For a second. Braun versus Vaughn.
I can't even say it 5 times fast.
They need to become the Von Brauns. They need to tag together as the Von Brauns. That's the key. but this was a really good match. I like Mr. Stone out there dressed up like it was a special occasion. That was good. But yeah, it's like I knew Braun was winning this. That being said, I thought Von Wagner looked really, really good.
Yeah, did you not? There was not a couple of falls for you that you thought for 1 second that Von Wagner was winning? Because it happened to me. It really happened to me. There was one near fall that I was like, are they really doing this? You know, when you had that, it's like a flash, right? And it crosses to your brain and you're like, no, they're not. You know, like you come back to reality. But I did have the moment in which I was like, are they doing this? I didn't know how Von Wagner was going to work with somebody like big, like Braun, right? Because the times that I've enjoyed Von Wagner is when he's just eating people, like what he did to Wesley. Like, that's the Von Wagner that I want to see. Well, he can't do he can't do that to Bron Breakker, right? You can't just lift him up and throw him around that way. So I was very curious going into this. At the same time, we saw him feud with Solo Sikoa, somebody, you know, of bigger size, and he did well. I like this match a lot. I thought both men looked great. I agree with you, but I never thought, except for the close fall, that Von had a chance here. So why not open the show with a good wrestling match that you kind of knew the outcome, but you still enjoyed it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then Zoe Stark. Promo. Okay, tell me first what you thought of this promo.
She was like feuding with TikTok. She was talking about how you spend your time on social media doing dances. And I'm like, girl, if your engagement on TikTok is not good, then try a different approach. You know, you don't have to dance on TikTok to get millions of views. And well, I did think it went on a little too long.
But she was specifically calling out Nikita's behavior on social media and the things that she posts, and about how Nikita is like the internet wrestling community's darling and that everybody loves.
What does that have to do with them not winning the titles?
Well, but I think it kind of works though, because here's the thing. I was on the fence about it at first. I was like, this is really tough for Zoe. Like, put yourself in Zoe's shoes. Nikita is darling in the internet wrestling community. Nikita is so over. Like, Zoe has quite a mountain to climb that she's out there cutting this promo to explain her actions. And she knows that she is the true underdog. She knows she's the Jannetty of that tag team. Like,
yeah, okay, like being the darling of the internet is like being the Wheeler Yuta of the Blackpool Combat Club. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't give you any street cred.
But for Zoe to go out there and cut that promo at the end when there were tears in her eyes and she was getting tense, I really believed it. Now, she is 100% going to lose this feud, but I really hope she gets over in the process, because it is tough going into this, breaking up a tag team, knowing that you are, that the person that you're feuding against is far more popular. And now, I mean, this is like what LA Knight's facing feuding with Bray Wyatt. Like, with Zoe Stark, it's very similar. You know, Nikita is there's much of a difference tipping the scales of being over. So I think this is an uphill climb for Zoe Stark, but I hope that she comes out of this with some momentum, even though she's going to lose this feud.
I thought it went on a little too long. I didn't like the points that she was making, just because, like I said, it really felt like you were feuding with TikTok, with social media. This has nothing to do with Nikita.
Did you feel seen and attacked by that?
I did. I actually legit, I'm going to clip it and send it to you so you can see me actually like having a conversation with the TV. Like, why are you talking to me that way? But I just feel like, because of the way that Zoe Stark's look, and that heel turn, where she'll slap her in the face with the title, be a badass. If you're going to be a heel, I don't want to see you cry. I don't want to see you come out and complain. I want to see you come out and say you're useless. You couldn't even help us get a title. We both need it. Come out here. I'm going to kick your ass. Like, what is wrong with wanting your heel to be a badass? I do not want to see a heel crying on TV. And I get your point of view, and it does make me see it differently. And when you look like Zoe Stark, like, she's ripped. Let her come out here and just curse her out for costing them their first win. Maybe she should have said, you're too distracted dancing on TikTok to learn how to freaking wrestle. Like, why can't she talk like that? Like, that would have been great. Why do they like you?
Could have been worded better.
Like, she could have come out and looked like a badass, and I just don't think she looked bad. Like, she looks soft. Soy boy, but a girl version.
But do you think there's a bit of a double standard in that, though? Because, like, when The Miz in his Daniel Bryan Talking Smack promo, like, The Miz was crying at the end. Like, he had tears in his eyes, like tears of rage, but tears nonetheless.
These weren't tears of rage.
Well, I think she showed vulnerability.
You're crying over how somebody acts on TikTok? Go.
You just feel so... It's like... One of my favorite diss records of all time is by a rapper who was on Eazy-E's label named Terry B. And she does like a 10-minute long diss track called Ruthless B-Word. Although she says that it stands for being in total control of herself, because she was taking ownership.
Love that. Right.
And she is just like reading off like her former bandmates, like Dr. Dre. She's just like dissing everybody. And then at the end of the record, like, you're listening to it and you're just like, yeah. And then she's like, now ask yourself, are you that ignorant, punk ass, fucked up, overweight, wannabe gangster? And I'm like, holy shit, she's talking about me. Like, this hits too close to home, Terry B. Like, now I feel like you put me on blast.
You know, I don't have I don't have any beef with TikTok. Maybe because my dog has more followers than me, and maybe I'm sensitive.
Oh, it all comes out here now, Issa. You really feel like Zoe Stark is feuding with Issa with this?
No, she's feuding with Roman. Like, do you think I sit here? Like, do you think I'm gonna, when we get done podcasting, I'm gonna go insult my dog and be like, "Why do you have more followers than me? Because your hair is silkier." Like, I don't do that to my dog. I love him the same.
Okay, hold on a second. You should absolutely get into a TikTok feud with your dog.
Shut up, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, and what's funny is that you can just sit there and like throw shade, and then you could just have Roman's response just be Roman looking adorable into the camera every time.
Yeah, and he'll get like he'll get like 13,000 likes because he's so freaking cute, and he's just like, what? Okay, you know what, I get you, Zoe, I get it.
Yes, see, so
I'm over here editing, transitioning, you know, like clipping and all that. And I post a Roman TikTok, and I just get him looking at the camera and tilting his head, and everybody's like. And I'm like, come on.
See, now you understand. I've explained it to you.
I'm pissed off.
She'd whack saying like the opening match, but too many people have spears as finishers now. I agree with that. Yes, she'd thank you. Too many people using spears as finishers. Calvin, Zoe's a fantastic wrestler. She needs more oomph and passion in her promo. See, that's where I really felt it at the end.
At the end. It just took a little long to get there.
It's tough, man.
It is.
Like, I can't imagine going out. You know, if you had me feuding with Joe Gacy, I'll go out there and I'll cut a promo on Joe Gacy and I'll be fine. You know, but if you have me feuding with someone who's like super over, like if you have me feuding with Tony D'Angelo, what could I go out there and say, Issa?
You know? I feel with my dog on TikTok. See what that gets you.
Yeah. So what happened after that? What did happen after that? Oh, we
appreciate the way that you saw it completely differently. Just discussing, I think that you saw how I saw it, and I kind of understand your point of view. It's fun to kind of like listen to two total different perspectives on the exact same segment. I find that super interesting.
You know, and that's the thing. And it's like, I respect that she's got a quite an uphill battle in this feud. It's tough because she's feuding with the woman that is the most over woman probably in all of WWE, probably all of professional wrestling, like the most universally liked by everyone. Now, not as many people watch NXT, but the percentage of people that have watched Nikita like Nikita.
Right.
So it makes it a little difficult. So Andre Chase, Duke Hudson. I miss Bodie, man.
Yeah, I like Duke Hudson here tonight. Sorry, I had to sneeze. I like Duke Hudson tonight. He's winning me over. The Chase U stuff that he's doing is really winning me over.
Yeah, that's good. So we then had Apollo backstage talking to Braun. Then we had Indashir, Veer Mahan, and Sangha went to the ring to take on Ariel Dominguez and George Cannon.
Who were these kids? Match.
I don't know.
Did they sign a release? Like, were they children from the crowd? Were they even old enough to be wrestling? Did they use a fake ID? What was happening?
Booker was dropping Sir Mix-a-Lot references on commentary.
Yeah, Booker was all over the place tonight.
Booker, I don't know if he had a ZOA before he went on the air or what, but Booker was pretty hype by even Booker standards.
Yeah, this was the longest squash match in history.
Wow. But that's what I liked about it, is that it just kept going and like you kept thinking, okay, they've proven their point. They look dominant. And it's like, nope, they're going to do some more.
That's what she said, Glenn.
There you go.
Let's talk about the promo afterwards.
Yeah, what did you think of their promo afterwards? Putting everyone on notice, especially Brooks and Dunn.
It was one of the worst You People promo.
Oh, pardon me, the Creed brothers.
They start talking about, like, in India, they treat us this way, and here nobody appreciates us. And I'm like, that's the American dream, buddy. Welcome. like, what are you talking about? You're a minority. That's how they treat us. Like, this is normal. This is a heel promo. I'm sorry. I've been there, Glenn. I can say this. I'm sure. Listen, I'm just giving you my perspective.
Okay. Okay. That's valid.
Absolutely. The American dream, like, they're living it. That's it, buddy. Why would you live where they treat you like a god to come over here for this?
Ricky Salavio said they came over from AEW Dark.
Very dark.
Yeah. So, but it's good. So, yeah, they put Creed on notice. Went backstage. Creed, they said that Indusheer are delusional. Alvin Island, Tatum Paxley walked in, told him not to worry about Indusheer. Then we had Wendy Chu calling out Cora Jade, calling her a petulant child. She's a salty and petulant child. I was like, whoa, okay, Wendy just like...
Wendy's the biggest heel in the women's division NXT, and people don't buy me for it. Like, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think Wendy's great.
Oh yeah, this is I was doing the watch along, and it was at this point where I found out Jimmy Fallon was trending, and it got weird. Did you stay away from Twitter today?
No, I was on Twitter a little bit today. I saw the Jimmy Fallon thing, and I was like, "Is he really? No, Jimmy Fallon is alive." So
right, yeah.
Let's see. Oh, JD Madonna versus Apollo Crews.
Oh my god,
this was a match.
Banger.
This was really good.
It was incredible. To another week in a row where JD just puts on a match that I just like really, really enjoyed. I mean, Apollo was awesome here, right? And I really was rooting for Apollo, so I'm glad that he ended up getting the win. But it wasn't an easy win, and I'm telling you, like, think it's how many weeks now that JT wrestles and it's a match that I'm just like, that was my favorite match of the night. So I gotta give him props. I find his character borderline creepy, but when he gets in the ring, he's really freaking good.
This was a really good match. I feel like there hasn't been a lot of momentum in either of their trajectories, but these two both are gonna have to be in the Iron Survivor match.
No, Apollo should be number one contender. He won.
What is the Iron Survivor match? So champions aren't in that.
Yeah, the winner gets the number one contender. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So at least there's a stake about it too, which I like, because, you know, like a lot of times you're looking at the ring tournament, you get to wear this crown and that's it. Like, why am I going to bust my ass and beat like six people for a crown? You can order it, Glenn.
You can go to Burger King and they just give those away.
Yeah.
Please. Do they still do that at Burger King? They still have the paper crowns at Burger King?
If you go to a Burger King, I would assume. I haven't been to one in forever, but they used to have them like in all the tables, remember?
Well, I remember they just used to have a stack of them and you could go and, you know.
Yeah. Why is it even called Burger King?
Well, so in Australia, there's another chain called Burger King. So in Australia, it's called Hungry Jack's. But in America and everywhere else in the world, it's Burger King because they're the king of burgers. You know, why would you want Mac when you can be the king? Yes, it's a royal. Yes, that's right. King Charles. No, they just a good name. Why is it called Taco Bell? You know,
I don't know.
Why is it called Del Taco? Del Taco of the Taco. You know, Kelvin Alexander, Diddy and Cruz tore the house down match of the week. It was very good. It was a very, very good match.
Which one? I'm sorry. Oh yeah.
Oh, JD and Apollo.
Yeah, that was incredible. I love this match. If you guys didn't watch NXT tonight, I will go back and watch that match.
Yeah, it was really well done. We saw Mandy in the Toxic Lounge. She's going to overcome despite the haters. But isn't it weird? I was thinking about this with Tyrus's dumb tweet. It's just like, what are you, Fred Durst in 2001 talking about all the haters? Like, how is this? Like, language evolves. Slang evolves even faster. How is it that nobody has come up with something better than the haters? Like, talking about the haters has been going on now for over two decades, and it's a little played out.
Yeah. Do you remember how they blamed Fred Durst for Woodstock when it really wasn't his fault?
I mean, they didn't calm it down.
But they also were not it. It was this stupid candlelight thing.
No, I know. I mean, it was a confluence of issues. I'm not saying like Fred Durst went out there and just like riled it all up, but they definitely didn't make it.
They had a duel after Fred Durst. Like, it was okay. It wasn't his fault.
I've watched all the Woodstock 99. You know, my band almost
I loved all of the documentaries and I like watch everything about it. And I still like every time they come out with a documentary, even if I think I know everything, I'll sit down and watch it.
In the hangar, there was an unsigned band stage and my band at the time was in the finals to get on that. We did not. And I was actually glad we didn't, because we probably would have been stuck with everyone else trying to get out of there. So
you got some cool stories to tell, Glenn.
There would have been that. But yeah, I remember that I was like, maybe it's not the worst thing that we didn't get picked for that. Let's see. What else? Oh, Javier Bernal. I loved this promo because it was clever that he called out Axiom and was like, Axiom's not cleared. Called it Dragunov. And he was like, oh, he's not cleared either. Call up Callis, reminded him that they're suspended. Like,
okay, but at one point the interviewer turned heel here. I was like, just let him finish and just let him be clueless. It was funny though. I was like, why is he still calling out people? And then I realized, oh, none of these people can wrestle right now.
Yeah.
Yes, Sergio. It was all Korn's fault. It wasn't Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit. I still need to do my Limp Bizkit podcast. I got the domain.
You do it
I
all
got
for the nookie?
I got the domain. I got the Twitter handle for the Limp Bizcast. Like I've got my plan for it where I want to go song
you
by
have to
song.
Get level there.
Yeah, I want to have a different guest each episode. And I want to answer the question, is Limp Bizkit a good band or not? And just, I want to go, like, each episode is just about one song. And I want to
Please
try and analyze it. I think it would be a great podcast. And I want
I
to know,
too.
Just is Ben Stiller still Fred Durst's favorite motherfucker? You know? Because it's just weird when they were making that album. And it was like, this album's going to sell like 10 million copies. This album's going to live forever. And I know I'm just going to shout out Ben Stiller. You are my favorite motherfucker.
God. He was so cool, though. Back then, for Durst, like, he was so freaking cool.
Okay, there are some good... Limp Bizkit has some really good songs.
Yeah, they do.
But they also have some songs that are not so good.
Yeah, agreed.
Now you could say, like, is Limp Bizkit talented as a band minus Fred Durst? Unequivocally. Like, absolutely. Is Wes Borland one of the greatest guitar players in all of rock and roll history? I would stand by that. I think Wes Borland's a very talented artist. Fred Durst, good businessman, visionary. He has some talents. Sometimes he displays a lack of talent. And therein lies the mystery. Of is Limp Bizkit a good band or not?
I love it. I love the idea. It's a great idea.
We need to get
there's
to the
so
bottom.
Many arguments about it too. Like, then you get some people that be like, they suck, and then you'll be some people, and then the nostalgia, you know.
You know, he's a crack addict. He's addicted to cracking skulls.
Yeah.
Did that song ever come out officially, or was that just one of those like leaked MP3s off Napster?
I thought it was like one of those Napster things that I remember downloading like four like completely corrupted files that were not it. And I wasn't the only one. You know how you would download a Napster like based on how many downloads you had? That's how you know if it was a kid. Yeah, I got so many wrong files for
the kids today don't know. Downloading, you know, a country version of Gin and Juice that supposedly was done by the band Fish. They don't know, you know, a cover of Leaving on a Jet Plane from Armageddon that was apparently done by Jewel, Sheryl Crow, or any other female vocalist God. That you could think of. These were some hardcore Napster problems, you know?
Those were the days. LimeWire. Oh, my God. But Napster was it. Napster was the OG illegal downloading.
Oh, absolutely. So Carmelo Hayes and Wesley signed the contract for their upcoming North American Championship match.
Love this segment. First of all, Melo and Trick looked on point. And I appreciated Wesley also kind of dressing up, but he was rocking the streetwear more where you know, I like the clash of the fashion styles because they're both good fashion styles. And it was a smooth contract signing, Glenn. Because
yeah,
the
I know.
Words were so powerful. The back and forth was so powerful that even Booker T was just like, no, hold it. Just hold it to the match. Okay, you guys did good.
Yeah. No, I like that it was calm by, I mean, they didn't end up getting into it.
I loved, Carmelo said a line where it was like, when you're at your limit, that's where I start from. And I was like, ooh. There was some good stuff here. I liked it a lot. And Drake was so funny. Three times.
Sheet Black saying, don't hate on Limp Bizkit. Used to stay off LimeWire viruses.
Yo, LimeWire, man. Like, I had them all. I was going to figure out a way to get this, like, specials. It was always for weird songs that you found out about through the internet, you know? Or
oh, yeah, yeah.
You had to either, or well, I used to work at Sam Goody, and I remember, like, you could special order the single special CD from Germany because NSYNC put a song only on that, and you'd be waiting 3 weeks for the CD to arrive. Or you could risk your computer and download it on that.
After. I used to go to the Virgin Megastore and buy like all sorts of import singles because for bands that I loved, like the Lemonheads or Jawbreakers, like I wanted those rare B-sides or things you just couldn't get. Or you know what? It was good though. It's like when it was a cover of a song that they had, but it was only available there. I don't know. Yeah. Like, but
I had everything that like NSYNC, Baxter Boys, Eminem, like had released. I had a weird tasting music when I was a teenager.
Speaking of which, because I was just thinking about the NSYNC B-side, what was it? That Girl Will Never Be Mine. What was that?
Yes.
Pop. Because I was flipping around the day. What? Okay, here's my rule. Okay, there's a new movie called On the Line. And I was just like, man, Lance Bass has got to be pissed somewhere. And then I was thinking, I'm like, that On the Line came out like 20 years ago.
It came out, yeah.
20 years ago was On the Line with Lance Bass and Joey Fatone.
It's been 20 years.
It's been 20 years. So when I'm in charge, every movie title only gets to use once. And if you want to call it the same thing, it better be a remake of that movie.
Right.
You know, I don't want Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines and then Running Scared with Paul Walker. Both great movies, but very different. Yeah. Very different films.
Right. Agreed.
You know, fresh titles. That's what I'm going to put out there.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Blade was backstage and he was wearing a sweater vest in honor of his father. I thought that was very nice, and I think the sweater vest could get over.
Agreed.
Look sharp.
Not as sharp as Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. They win fit of the night.
Wow. The Dyad took on Josh, or I almost said their names. The Dyad took on Brooks and Dunn. Yeah, see, I stopped myself from saying their actual names. And the Dyad won. Oh, yeah, I did miss Pretty Deadly
tonight. And Grayson Waller, too. He was missed to me.
There was no Grayson Waller effect.
And Tony D'Angelo. It was still a good show, but there were some names that were missed there.
How is it Two Dimes is on AEW getting like wins and surprise segments and Tony D'Angelo isn't NXT champion yet?
Because he's with Jeff Jarrett. That's what it's at.
Salt in the wound. Baby Ice saying I lost a computer to illegally downloading music.
Me too.
Back in the 2000s.
Me too. Didn't we all? Like, I feel like we were all there at one point.
I had a separate computer that I had no personal info on. I had like an old computer and I was like, I'm just going to use this as the one that if this gets virused up, so what? There's like nothing personal on here.
Good point.
Yeah. And I used to just run like Napster 24/7.
And you download the movies to the music, but you can download everything on there, man.
Oh my God, back in IRC, you used to be able to get movies. I remember the first one was when, speaking of Blade, when the first Blade movie came out in a really good camcorder copy that you could download.
Yes.
Like, I remember watching that and I was just like, this is the future. I'm downloading movies off the internet.
We've come so far.
You know, I told this story when we interviewed Eduardo Sanchez, director of the Blair Witch Project, on our other podcast, Yellow Jackets Buzz. I downloaded the leaked copy of the Blair Witch Project, and like that shit felt real. When you're down in that internet and that hadn't come out in theaters yet, like that was very believable.
Blair Witch Project, I was 100% in until they showed up at the movie awards. That's when I realized it wasn't real, because I was like 100% like telling my friends and everything, like, no, this is real. Like, you know,
and then I tricked my girlfriend at the time. I tricked my girlfriend at the time, and I did. She was freaked out after. I was like, yeah, that was real. That really happened. They've never found those people.
Yeah. I was so mad when they showed up. They should have kept kayfabe forever.
I mean, they practically did. They were hardly in any other movies, you know?
Come on, Glenn. That's not nice.
I'm just saying. Well, you know what
and
I mean?
The found footage films like change forever after, because I feel like there's a lot of really good found footage, but I feel like Blair Witch mainstreamed it. You know what I mean?
Like, I watched Creep finally, which is a found footage horror movie from like 10 years ago. But like Mark Duplass is the guy, the killer in it. And it was just like, this is the dude from The League. Like, I've seen him in a dozen other movies.
What is it called? The Poughkeepsie Files?
No, I heard that was good.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. The problem is I walk the fine line between, like, do I want to be scared? I think we talked about this before. We were talking about it earlier. Like, I like mythology more than I like just, like, being frightened by things.
Yeah, that's not me. I'm going to be like, watch it. Don't be scared. You're soft. You don't want to watch it. I'll talk you into it, and then I'll be like, why did we put this on? It was your idea. Oh, I know.
It just depends. They're different. Like, I like movies like Green Room or stuff where it's really intense. Like that. And if it's violent.
Did you like Hereditary?
I thought Hereditary was great. Hereditary did freak me out. Like, that was one of those where it was like, oh, this is a really good mix of tone. And it wasn't really jump scares, but it was just some creepy shit happening.
I love that a lot of that movie, they don't show you and they make you imagine. And that's my favorite kind of horror, because it all depends on how big your imagination is. But like, there's a couple of scenes where you're like, oh my God. I love how this podcast have turned into everything but NXT.
It's NXT. And I have to say, the NXT Tuesday community that we have here, like, we get a lot of people that watch this podcast. Like, I don't even watch NXT. I just like hanging out. Like,
Miss Samar is awesome, baby eyes. I love that movie. That movie's fucked up. That movie is fucked up. When these people start jumping off the mountain, like, what?
So on the bootleg cable that I have, most of the time there's a program guide. Like, most of the time there's a program guide, so I'll flip channels, and I'll be like, okay, this is on. I'll read the description, and sometimes I'll turn it on, like, this sounds interesting. But the other night, like, it wasn't populating the program guide, so I was flipping channels blind. So I don't know what I'm going to hit. And so I hit, like, this one scene, and I had to look it up. It was this movie called Mirrors with Kiefer Sutherland. And, like, the scene I flipped was just, like, was horrifyingly gross. Like, I just looked at it. I was just like, I could not change the channel fast enough on that. I guess he looks, Kiefer Sutherland looks in the mirror and sees like some messed up stuff. I don't know. But I was just like, noped out of that shit really fast. You know? It just depends. Okay. Yes, the bootleg cable. It's like it's the 90s. I've got the bootleg cable.
Made my night.
I've got real cable too. But you know why I have the bootleg cable actually? Is that if sometimes.
Incriminate yourself some more. Why don't you, Glenn?
No, it's actually because of this podcast. Because sometimes. Oh. Fox Sports screws up.
Yeah, I know.
On Friday, and doesn't show SmackDown on the West Coast, so I need a way to access an East Coast TV station to watch Fox. It just happens that it comes with 2,000 other channels, you know, for the same low price and bad quality, and like the lip sync is off half the time. Like, it's
like we didn't do it. We had that little black cable box that my dad paid a bunch of money from. We could watch all the pay per views for free and the boxing match. You remember that? We're talking about the old school. Like, it was like a yo, bro, freaking cable box that you could watch pay per views and everything on.
Oh, I used to have it with the satellite dish, and you would have to download these cards and you'd have to buy a card programmer. And then it would be like, my card's not working anymore. I have to reprogram my card. Like, with the satellite dish, it was annoying because, like, they changed the codes. Quick, download and program. And it was so lame. I could not wait to get rid of my DirecTV with that.
Yeah.
But you know what it was really about? It's not about the pay channels. My dream since I was a child is to be able to watch TV in other countries. Like, I just like being able to watch TV from anywhere in America. Like for Quantum Leap, or is on a break now, but we would watch the East Coast feed. I would say to the wife, like, okay, do you want to watch? Let's watch Pennsylvania tonight and see what their political ads are looking like. Let's watch Florida tonight and see what their ads are looking like. You know, it's fun. It's fun to sample. And yeah, sometimes when there's nothing on, like, we'll just be like, let's watch the music video channels from Italy, you know, and just sometimes it's mostly American songs, but sometimes you just hear some crazy music you never heard before.
Yep.
There was this one thing. Oh my God. I can't remember the name of the station. But yeah, it was this hip hop artist that, I mean, we've gone down the rabbit hole now. I have to shout this out. So I don't know if this dude is unsigned and paid for this airtime, like if he's a rich kid or something. I had to save this. His name is Epiphany, E-P-I-F-A-N-Y. And like, I can't even imagine if somebody wasn't great at writing songs or rapping, but they had a lot of money and hired a band and made music videos. And that is Epiphany. And we watched this on Spanish language television. And then I was like, I found it. It's on YouTube. You can look it up on YouTube. Epiphany.
Wait, I have to know.
Yeah, Epiphany.
Text me the name.
Puro Cuatro is the name of this.
Oh my God.
Yes. And
please text me. I'm going to look it up.
Yes. Epiphany. Something else. Something else. I'll send you the.
When you talk about like watching the Italy music video channel, I picture a bunch of music video that look like Rex Manning video from Empire Records. Say no more. Mon amour. That's what I picture Italy music videos to be like. I don't know why.
Yes. I like when I mean, it is funny when it's when it is exactly what you think it would be, but a lot of the time it's crazier than you imagine. Oh, and then my favorite thing, because we're talking about this, because, okay, a lot of people apparently have the bootleg IP TV. My favorite thing is that it constantly freezes, but it doesn't pause. It goes in a loop where it just loops the same 5 seconds again and again. And we're watching...
I think you're being hypnotized, buddy.
We were watching like this Brazilian music video and it kept looping the same 5 seconds. And for the first minute it did that, I was like, wow, the song's really repetitive. And then we had to figure out what the song was. Because it was like this techno song. The loop was better than the actual full song. Yes. People here know my woes. Shout out to Epiphany. And
for the record, shout out to Empire Records. It's such an underrated 90s movie. Like, I don't understand why it's not on people's like top list. I love Empire Records.
I feel like it's reasonably well loved. I didn't love it as much.
Reasonably well loved, but people will put like Clueless, which is an incredible piece of film, right? But I don't think like it gets mentioned enough. You know, like people talk about The Craft, right? I love all of these movies that I'm mentioning, but my life was surrounded around Empire Records. Like, I got my first job at a Sam Goody just because I wanted to work at a music store. Like, I love that movie. Now I feel like I'm gonna watch it when we get done.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but Rex Manning, played by Maxwell Caulfield from Grease 2.
Yeah. Say no more, mon amour. Happy Rex Manning Day. Oh my God. That movie brings me so much joy.
One of my favorite, oh man, sometimes I really miss doing the podcast with Matt Morgan. No offense to you and Alfred, but let me just tell you that there was the night when I was talking about, you know what I mean. There was the night when I think I missed like Takeover or something. And I was like, there was a screening of Grease 2 and everyone was like, light him up, Matt, light him up from Grease 2. And Matt was like, when I watched that movie so many times as a kid, it was my dream to grow up and buy a motorcycle and fix it up like Michael does in Grease 2. Like Matt Morgan couldn't hate. Matt Morgan, also a huge Grease 2 fan.
No. And you know that Empire Records, like low key, got me through it, like, because when I finished college here in Puerto Rico and I decided to move to the States, I started at Sam Goody at 15. I transferred to a Sam Goody in the States. Like, it was, you know, I was going to college, made it all the way to assistant manager. Come on. And I didn't steal the money from the vault like Lucas did. I was a responsible assistant manager on my first night closing.
Sergio, hit me up on Twitter with your great service provider that you're mentioning in the chat.
Please.
Because I'm always looking for another one. And that's the thing. They're so cheap that it's like you subscribe to like two or three because you just want to see who's got what. It's the 24/7 channels that I like. I like that there's 24/7 like Leave It to Beaver or Good Times, or I can just like watch episodes of Growing Pains, you know, without having to choose something. That's what's nice. So let's
record, before you continue about NXT, I do miss Matt Morgan as well, and I miss you two guys talking shenanigans. Like those stereo shows that you guys did were hysterical. That was the shit. Like I popped for those.
I liked when he would just surprise me with something that it would be like, oh, well, Matt's not going to be into this.
The story about being shot, I was like, like I remember listening and audibly gasping out loud. I was like, wait, Matt Morgan's been shot? Like what?
There was that. There was like the underground cage fighting. Like,
shout out to Matt Morgan. Nothing but love.
Absolutely. We will do a reunion at some point, hopefully in the early next year. So yes, the Iron Survivor Challenge, the Dyad won that match because everyone was on the edge of their seat saying, who's going to win, the Dyad or Brooks and Dunn? Like, and it is what it is.
The story about him being taken in a van. Oh my God.
What about the when he was on Robbie E's podcast, when he was on Mr. Stone's podcast, and he talked about like being taken to the warehouse to shoot the wrestling matches, and he was like, where's the audience?
Oh my God, I can't.
Yeah. Matt's got some good stories.
Yeah, he does.
And fuck Big Show for saying that Matt was unsafe backstage because he was insecure. Every time I see Big Show, I'm just like, fuck that guy talking shit about Matt Morgan because you're afraid he's going to take your spot.
I don't know if Peacock is going to air it or not, but we were able to go to the first Undertaker One Dead Man show when we did Nashville. They allowed me to enjoy the first, and he tells a story about somebody whining about him being unsafe and saying that he heard them in the ring, and I hope they air this because it's one of the greatest stories I ever heard. And I'm going to leave it at that. No spoilers. We're not allowed to talk about it. I'm assuming that they were recording everything, but I popped for that story like crazy.
So HBK talked about the Iron Survivor match like we talked about earlier. There will be one for the men, one for the women. Pre-taped. Yes, pre-taped HBK.
You know, like this big announcement and a video package playing. What the hell? I was going to come out and talk.
Five superstars, two start, 5-minute intervals. Goal is to get as many pinfall submissions as possible, but you can also, you'll gain points and then lose points if you were pinned or submitted, and you'll be sent to the penalty box for 90 seconds after. So the winner becomes the new number one contender for the NXT and NXT Women's Championships.
I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait to hear who the contestants are going to be, but based on the people that are in NXT, I think this is going to slap. It's going to be a banger.
There you go. Will we still be saying banger 20 years from now, the way we talk about haters? Think about that.
I don't know. But that Sheamus banger after banger will never, it will forever live rent-free in my head.
Yes. Indy Hartwell took on Tatum Paxley. Indy got the win. Took off Tatum's mask.
Yep. Love this version of Indy Hartwell. I love the mean streak. I think it was about time.
Yeah. But what you all came for, we heard from Scripps tonight. Here, I can give a recreation of what we heard from Scripps.
Please. Oh, God.
Your cameras couldn't catch me. I got past your guards with ease. Now that I'm here, everything after this will only be a breeze. But I'm not Tyler Breeze. I just want to make, don't get your hopes up. You might be thinking this is Tyler Breeze, but I just used breeze because it rhymed with ease, not because I'm Tyler Breeze, just making that clear. Because I'm fast as lightning, smarter than you think, moves are incredible. You miss it if you blink. Next week, you will see that you and I aren't the same. So tell me, who's the first to play a little game? That might be a Triple H reference. Just, I'm putting that out there to make you excited, but inevitably you'll only be disappointed. And how often do I give the ladies that warning? My name is Scripps.
You forgot to say sincerely.
Oh, sorry.
when you turn the camera off, I was already dying. I might need my inhaler. I'm laughing too much. You are Scripps, aren't you?
Could be. It's possible.
If for the people in the chat that are saying Scripps is spelled wrong, you can't sit with us if you don't know the joke. If that's the origin story of Scripps in this podcast.
If more people watched NXT, this would be the most over thing I've ever done in the world of wrestling. Not the AI-generated Raw, not getting them to change the name of the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal at WrestleMania. Like, if more people watched NXT, my Scripps impression would be my signature addition to the internet wrestling community.
Oh, and of course, finding out who Alfred's daddy is will be
close. Oh, yes, that's right. That's right.
He didn't even have to go to Maureen. We figured it out. Oh my god.
Oh, Scripps.
Great, great. I love how you I love the Tyler Breeze line, by the way. Oh my god, that's it. And then this is a Triple H reference. Scripps comes up like that kind of person. Did you get the joke? Did you get it? No, I'll tell you. I live for this. I hope Scripps is very insecure. I hope Scripps doesn't disappoint. Somebody said you are the ghost writer of Scripps character. I'm convinced.
Scripps is tough, man. You know?
Yeah.
Scripps was late
street
tonight.
Street cred. He's got street cred.
And probably got stuck in all that Mar-a-Lago traffic trying to make it to the performance center.
Please don't bring it up, okay?
So let's your camera's gonna catch me.
What was that? But then they show like this shadow sitting on the performance center, and I'm like, okay, so did the cameras catch him or not? Like, I'm confused.
Sheet Black, Buck 99, WWE's off biting off Batman and the Riddler. I mean, maybe.
Oh, good point. Yeah. I just watched it, so it's fresh in my mind.
Yes.
Uh-oh. What? Oh, no.
Hi, this is Scripps. I was calling. Do you have a lost and found? Somebody, I'm not saying it was me, but somebody was at the Performance Center earlier and was sitting in the bleachers, and they were wearing a hoodie, but they may have dropped their wallet. And again, this wasn't me. I'm being a good Samaritan. I'm calling on behalf of not a friend. I don't know who this person is, but they may have dropped their wallet. And if you could just leave that outside, don't look inside. Whatever you do, do not look inside. Yes, there's an ID inside, and I can't tell you the name, and I don't want you to look at the name. But if you just leave it outside, I will be there to pick it up on behalf of the person that lost it. And if you could also disable the security cameras, I would really appreciate it. Need that wallet. Gotta renew my car registration. I have to go down to the DMV. Have you ever tried to renew something without an ID? It's very tough. And my name is Scripps. No, wait, it's not. It's not Scripps. This is anonymous Good Samaritan. Thank you. I'll see you next week. Scripps, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
I can't. I have an asthma attack. It's on you. Oh my god. Stop. Scripps, what's in that wallet?
We don't know what's in Scripps' wallet. It's a mystery. Oh, Jesus. No. Like, it's not Gable Stevenson. No, it's not Gable Stevenson. Like, I gotta be honest, folks. I might have said this earlier. Like, I was really worried when Scripps didn't show up tonight. I was like, did we kill Scripps? Like, HBK was just like, they're making a mockery of this. We have to kill this gimmick. I feel a little bad for Scripps.
Oh, please don't. This is A-plus entertainment. I look forward to this every week.
<Let's see. laughs> Sheet, I mean, isn't Scripps basically Cartman?
Basically.
A little bit of the Eradicator from Kids in the Hall.
Oh my god, the other day I was pulling up the Faith Plus One episode of South Park when Cartman started the gospel band to make money.
Oh, I every time I get Del Taco, I just keep thinking three tacos, two tostadas,
oh, man,
and a soda
pop.
Oh,
you are so perfect. Yes,
but I just keep thinking three tacos, two tostadas, and a soda pop.
Oh my God. Yes.
That is probably my favorite episode of South Park ever.
It's top one or two for me with the Michael Jackson. I mean, Mr. Jefferson one.
Mm. Sort of Scott Tenorman, all-time classic. Yeah, South Park, still going. South Park, like 25 years old. How did that happen?
I know, but nothing like the first, you know, first seasons where they could get away with a lot more.
I don't know. The Tolkien episode that they did in this last season, that is one of the most brilliant things that I've ever seen a long-running television show do.
Agreed. Agreed.
It was so good. So let's talk about this main event, Mandy Rose versus Alba Fire in the last woman standing match for the NXT Women's Championship. My only complaint about this is it started at like 7 minutes to the top of the hour, and I knew they were going to go over, but I knew this was probably going to be...
Yeah, but still, you're thinking like a last woman standing match that's going to last 10, 15 minutes? What is that?
Yeah, I'm like, this is going to be the shortest last person standing match ever.
Yeah. And we have a last knockout standing match tomorrow. I'm sorry, Friday night from Impact. And I was thinking, because I thought Bianca and Bayley did really good at Crown Jewel. So I was thinking NXT was going to just show off, you know, just to see. Because I think I am looking forward to this Impact match. So I wanted to see what they did today, since everybody's now having a last woman standing match.
I thought they were going to do something. Remember, and they obviously couldn't do this with Mandy and Alba for obvious reasons. But remember when Baron Corbin and Dolph made the big thing that like, oh, we're going to do a technical wrestling match because we're both collegiate wrestlers. And they came out there with the gear. And I think didn't Baron just like, or was it Dolph? One of them just like hit the other one in the nuts and then it was over.
Yes. Yes. The main event, I didn't like the... Oh my God, the Kanye West episode.
Yeah, Kanye episode. My wife had never seen that up until last year.
Oh my God. I showed a video on my stream the other day because people didn't know what the hell I was singing. So, anyways.
No, I've got that song on my iPod. That was like one of the last MP3s I downloaded and put on my iPod before we moved to phones.
I didn't like the ladder spots in the main event because it felt like, remember when Ronda and Liv had that Extreme Rules match and she would hit her with the bat so softly? I felt that from this match. I did think Mandy Rose looked very badass. Like there was something about the way she was wrestling when I was like, okay, she's really like, because she's convinced me, right? But I do think she still has some doubters or haters. And I thought she looked very badass tonight. And I love the way they did their debut. I'm not very familiar with this person, but I thought it was a great way to debut her. The way she was popped out from behind the, you know, from behind the ladder and the spot falling onto the table. I enjoyed it. But I agree with you. The start of the match kind of gave away that it was going to be something short with a weird finish.
Yeah, I thought they were going to have Toxic Attraction come and incapacitate Alba Fire.
I don't know that you could have done that one more time. They've done it too much, so I appreciated somebody coming back for Alba. But I will say one thing, because some people knew who she is, and people in my chat were saying, well, she feuded with Alba in NXT UK. You can what to think, is she after Alba, or did Mandy Rose recruit her onto Toxic Attraction? Like, you don't feel like you got that explanation, which makes you tune in next week.
I would love if Mandy recruited her Toxic Attraction and just seeing Gigi Dolin like giving her the side eye the entire time.
If you're not familiar with I thought that until I started figuring out who she was, I was like, well, did she get recruited by Mandy, or is this person just has some kind of beef with Alba? Like, you don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Oz, thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate it.
That's another Australian one. We got Australia always pulling up.
Dreamer, I'm talking about the Boondocks being delicious. Man, I miss the Boondocks. The Boondocks was supposed to be coming back, but I think that got caught up in the HBO Max cuts, which is unfortunate. I love that comic strip, and the TV show is classic. But Isla Dawn, look, as far as debuts, I think that great look, great way that she sabotaged Alba tonight. Looking forward to seeing what they do next with her. It is tough, though, because I think that, Toxic Attraction's got to get called up. I think I don't want to make the generalization be like, well, they both have orange hair, but I think with her and Gigi, like, there's a little too much visual confusion, perhaps, where it might dilute their individual brands.
Yeah, and just saying, you know, you could have gotten that impression tonight. Like, why is she here? Is she here with Mandy? Is she here with Amba? But overall, fun match. I really like the way Mandy Rose looked here. They haven't done any favors for they haven't done any favors for Alba Fire.
Yeah, this is tough for Alba Fire.
Yeah.
Alba, like, now has lost.
She already went into tonight where I didn't believe she would win. And then, you know, then this happened. So she's going to have a long road to recover, you know, character-wise, to become credible again.
It's tough when you go for the championship multiple times and lose.
Right.
But I almost guarantee she'll be in that Iron Survivor match.
Do you think Scripps is going to be an Iron Survivor?
Scripps is already, I mean, number one contender status, you know, I think just coming in. Right?
Sincerely, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun episode of NXT. I enjoyed tonight. I have fun watching it. There was a lot of good wrestling. It was great.
You know what I'm tickled most about Scripps' arrival is I really have no clue who Scripps is going to be.
I have no idea. Oh, it's going to be Dante Chen.
Oh. Maybe.
Do you know Dante Chen?
I know of Dante Chen. Hasn't Dante been on NXT before?
I don't know. I was scrolling through WWE roster pages and he popped up and I could have sworn I'd never seen him before. So he's my dude now.
Wait, what?
He's my guy. I'm all in.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He's been on NXT Level Up.
Oh, great. That's a show that everybody watches.
We keep threatening to.
Let's not.
But what if Scripps is Boa? Yeah, I don't know.
What is Scripps' beer? He got to come twice.
And T-Bar was promising to bring hard justice.
Horniest show in wrestling. Always.
Hard justice. Well, what else is there to say? I think we've covered it all.
Yeah.
Justine, of course, you can have a shout out. Thank you for your support. And Scripps, thanks you. Scripps with a Y.
Butch. You know, that I wear the wireless microphone, it looks like I'm staring into my boobs when I try to get close.
Oh, I was wondering if that was like Issa got her pager on her just in case she gets.
Oh my God, I used to have one. Those were the days.
I remember when everyone had a cell phone and there were still like.
I want a pager again. I want to go back to that because you were so left alone compared to now.
You were left alone because who the fuck is paging you?
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to give up on my cell phone and get a pager. Can you still get a pager?
You probably can. I'm just going to start texting you or paging you.
Yes, please. But with the codes that we used to use.
I just remember like
an emergency or you used to say like.
Like 8,085 or 80,085. I mean, that would be. A popular
what is this code? Google search? It says obviously pagers may not be the cutting edge technology that everyone is using today. What is that supposed to mean? You still have to dial a number and an operator and tell the operator that was the best days.
Well, that's if you had the if you had like the Sky Pager where you could give the text message as opposed to the ones where you would just call and then you hit the numbers.
Yeah. You know? Hold on. Oh my God, I can't get a pager. I'm going to get us a pager.
Everybody send your pages, your numeric pages to the Wrestling Inc. podcast and we'll read them on screen.
Yo, that could be.
Just don't numbers. Give me ideas. Just numbers.
Don't give me ideas. Yes. Yo, in Puerto Rico, we used to write 8383 because it looked like you're saying bebe, which is baby. Oh, yo, that's smooth right there. Text me bebe and you got me.
Shit. Sheet Black saying when the popular kids had pagers. I don't think.
Well, we're about to be popular because I'm going to get us some.
I remember I had a cell phone early, like 1993, and I remember running up a huge bill and then getting rid of my cell phone for a while.
Look, this one with service, $90. Yo, Glenn, we're going to be so cool. Oh, you think I'm kidding? Wait till Christmas. You just won't eat. I'm going to send it to your house wrapped, and then I'm just going to like set up pager right when you get the delivery so you hear the beep.
You and I miss, since we're talking about retro tech, I miss the Danger Sidekick. That was my favorite phone that I ever had, where you could browse the web and you could text people with a full keyboard. Like,
yeah, but that was the shit. They came out with the cheap one.
No.
That's the first one I owned. There was like a cheaper, it was called like the XD, like Sidekick XD, and it was like a cheaper version of it. Mm. That was my first one. But then I got, then I upgraded and got a real one. But
Sidekick was good. It had a great web browsing experience. No, but
I want to talk about my Sidekick, because why didn't my dad give me the cheap one? Like, you want to talk about Lacey Evans, hard times? Why didn't my dad go full in and buy me the real fucking Sidekick? Instead, he gets me the...
Well, Lacey's going back to basics. You know, we saw in her WWE digital.
She had it hard. I couldn't get
She was taking her makeup off, taking her eyelashes off. She said she's got to go back to basics. What if Lacey's new gimmick is she comes out and it's like a pager? Or no, I was going to say, well, she's got a pager, a Danger Sidekick, like an iPod. What if she's going like early 2000s, like nostalgia? That's her new gimmick.
Oh, that would be incredible. It was LX. LX was the cheaper version of it.
Ah.
So it didn't have like all the features, but it looked like a Sidekick. So it's like a fake designer bag that from far away you're like, oh, she had a Louis Vuitton. And then you get close and you realize it's like two L's and a B.
My brother bought his wife a real designer bag and I yelled at him. I was like, why didn't you just get a knockoff? Like, this is like, you just wasted so much money. Like, there's some good knockoffs out there.
I'm not big on bags. I'm big on shoes. Like, even in the background, there's like a pair of $800 shoes just sitting in my desk because shoes are amazing.
Yeah, my wife likes shoes. She bought me a pair of Fluvogs once. We went to the Fluvog store in Vancouver. They're very nice shoes. Fluvogs are very nice shoes, but I never want to wear them anywhere. It's like,
I have that issue with my red bottoms. I have an extensive collection and I only wear them for like super special. Okay. And I get them protected. There's like the protection, so they always stay red and all that, but I still don't feel comfortable just wearing them all the time. So it's like, why do you have like so many pairs of the shoes that you never wear? And I'm like, well, it's the red. So I started buying regular designer shoes so I don't have to worry about the red. I know, hard times. Lacey Evans. She don't understand.
Sheet Black saying pagers would be a good stocking stuffer. Here, I got you a pager.
I'm going to get us pagers.
No, but Lacey's new gimmick should be like 2002. She could rock Limp Bizkit. She could play a PlayStation 2. Like, you know, Lacey could take it back old school.
You know, I used to be the best at SingStar on PlayStation
2. I was really into Rock Band for a while. Used to like that.
Rock Band was there, but SingStar was my shit, especially Drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I liked Def Jam Rap Star. That was kind of fun.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Good games, good times. Well, I need to figure out what I'm going to do with this evening. I'm alone in Vegas. The wife's out of town. And I'm going to sit around with my cats, order Uber Eats, and watch a movie.
I'm going to start my TikTok feed with my dog.
There you go. Good.
We're such exciting individuals.
Getting old. I'm going to be 47 in March.
You're a baby. Age is nothing but a number.
Yeah, but I'm really feeling it more.
You'll feel better when I get you a pager because it'll bring you back to your younger days.
There you go. Okay, everybody. Have a good time. We will see you back here on Friday. Tomorrow night is AEW coverage. Eason, I'll be back on Friday. Alfred is out. I think he's at a comedy competition.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah. And we'll go from there. Have a good one, everyone. We'll catch you next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.